When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome and well met to episode 137 of Tales of Tamriel. I am your host, Agelos, and with me this afternoon, the one, the only, the guy who wishes he could tank as well as my sex bar, Arcaneer. I think he's kind of muted.
Yeah, you're muted.
Still so, muted, Arc.
Yeah, hello, I'm here. I'm happy to be here, but you can just start the show saying that. Because, you know, I have to greet people, but if you say that, my brain tries to, you know, counter that, and I can't greet people. So hello to the chat room. I'll try not to get taunted by Ag. I mean, his Sexplar's taunt isn't gonna be useful anyway. So I shouldn't. Anyway, yeah, happy to be here.
See, I got you so flustered already. You're just like, yeah, nope, I'm done. Show's over.
My entire entry gone.
I understand. I mean, I'm not running the suboptimal build like you are, so I could be flustered too. But anyway, the guy who's running a suboptimal system, Sean Onew, how are you, buddy?
Oh, suboptimal?
Yeah, suboptimal.
I'm doing pretty good. I don't know. My infinite health tank is coming along pretty nicely. Been talking to Galsker a little bit about it. He's gave me some ideas. He's trying to make it be a PvP viable.
Okay.
But I don't know how that's going to work, but so far I'm doing pretty good.
Nice, nice. And hello, chat room. Thank Zealot for that. So I remind you, thank you so much for showing up on this Saturday afternoon. You guys are great. So we got a show, and we're going to hop right on into it. So first thing we got to do is our Tales of Tamriel, the thing the show was named after, talking about what adventures we've had in Tamriel this week. Including my Khajiit right here, who I'm kind of throwing around my shoulder because she bit me. She's obviously AD.
Yeah,
but being our guest for this week, Sean, why don't you go ahead and talk to us a little bit about what you've been doing and maybe give us a little bit of insight into your infinite health build you've been working on.
All right. Well, I guess I'm going to start with housing because we've only had housing for, what, a week?
Yeah,
compared to you
right.
guys.
Oh yeah, it was last Monday? Was it Monday? You guys got it?
Yeah, the 22nd? Question mark.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
something like that. Anyway, so I had 6.5 million gold before housing.
Okay. And oh, hold on. 6.5 million gold.
My buddy quit the game, and he gave me 5.5 million.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I got. Yeah, he's like, I'm done. Literally deleted ESO and sent me everything he had.
No, I'm just more, you know, I like to point this out because everyone's like, Ag's perception of how much money
no,
people
your
have.
Perception is wrong. yours is wrong.
I don't know, dude. You're just the one who said you had 6.5 million. So
and now, after I had that 6.5 million, housing dropped. I got to 10,000 to my name. That was it.
that's to be expected, of course, but the fact that you had 6.5 million tells me that, hey,
but 5.5 million of it came from his friends,
but
so
that, just means
that other million took a year and a half to get.
All I know is your friend at least had 5.5 million, so it's not like you had 10 friends leave and they all donated a little bit. You had one guy leave and give you 5.5 million.
He got really lucky in RGB way back when.
Okay.
When RGB was doing the thing.
So average player still doesn't have 4 million. But yeah, continue.
And there's a lot of new players too. Like, what, didn't they have go from 7 million to 8.5 million between E3 last year to this time?
Yes, that is correct.
That's another 1.5 million expected people are playing compared to whatever.
Yeah, where it was last year, or even 9 months ago. Yes, that is correct.
So that percentage for people who are rich is definitely down.
Well, I mean, obviously, when you're adding new players in, it dilutes the demographic, but you also can make money off of new players as well.
Yeah, that's another thing, actually. So temps before housing were 25K a piece on Xbox. Oof. Now I saw some go for 9,250. Now it's like, whoa.
That's a lot closer to at least the North American side. I think tempering alloys are somewhere in the 5 to 8K range, somewhere in there.
So, oh, really?
Tempering alloys were 10.5K on European side. But just before, you know, 2 months before Homestead, everyone stopped buying it. Now they are like 7K or something.
No, flying off the shelves. Everyone's trying to get that 2,500 gold or whatever just to buy flowers.
Well,
but anyway, with housing...
I know before housing on the PC, hardly anything was selling because everyone was just stockpiling
saving
money. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So I actually posted a video in Dungeon Crawlers, and I think it was a general or whatever where I showed you.
Yep.
I made a maze. The maze has four levels. So you have to go upstairs and whatnot. I put lights along the sides to help guide people away. There's invisible walls, there's invisible floors, there's traps, and it took me like 40 hours to make this thing, and each bush that I put in was 1,250 gold. Like, that's how much they cost from the trader, and you just are merchant or whatever. And that thing has 450 to 500 of them. I'm not exactly sure on the amount, but I spent a lot on bushes.
Now, which place did you buy?
So I bought the Hunnings Hall.
Okay.
Was the first one I bought. The one on the beach in Shrolls Mackay.
Yep.
I really like that one. And then I actually bought another house. I decided to buy the, what's the AD one with the waterfall?
You automatically said AD, so I kind of shut off.
Now it's going to bother me. Anyway, it has a waterfall. It's AD, the 3.7 mil house.
Oh, Serenity Falls.
That one, Serenity Falls.
The manor, I got you.
Mm-hmm. And me and my friend Merritt and one of my other buds, Beerman, we're basically turning it into an IKEA, and we're making furniture we can make and just put it on display. And like, I've been inviting people to come over and be like, this is what I can make. What do you want? I need to make my money back.
And so it's essentially a showroom where you're like, oh, do you like this? This would look great in any Nordic domicile.
Well, most people can't see it unless they go on their phones or whatever and Google ESO fashion. And a lot of people don't do that. You guys are all on PC. Console, it's a little different.
Yeah. Right.
And that actually makes sense. You know, both immersion-wise and, you know, for usefulness, that having a showroom like that actually makes sense. Now I want to visit it.
I'll take a video for you. Or you can go buy an Xbox like a real gamer.
PC Master Race. Sorry.
Oh, didn't you say like you've been sick a lot lately and you were sick of, and you get sick near inferior hardware, but you've been sick. I don't know.
Shots fired
indeed. I should be, I'm greatly offended by that.
Nice. And you're just talking about like, I need to upgrade my PC.
My PC is fairly old. That's just me not upgrading my PC in like 6 years. Pretty much any PC you buy is probably at least as good as mine. Now, when I bought mine like 6 years ago, I mean, I built the thing and it was top of the line. I spent tons of money on this thing, so it's still fairly good. Like, it's kind of higher end, but it's starting to show its age in some areas. Most notably, the area that I see the most issue with is Witcher 3. When I was playing that, I can only do medium settings, and I think that's kind of my graphics card. But I do a lot of, obviously, podcasting and rendering and things like that, so I need a better
You split up your resources quite a bit.
Yeah, I use a lot, so I need probably an i7 or something like that. So
I mean, maybe stop buying Crown.
Yeah, you know, that's a problem too.
Crown currency. I forgot name of the crown currency. Crown points.
Just crowns. What do we call it? Just crowns.
Crowns, yeah. Why did I forget that?
It's not untrue. I did this on Twitter, and people kept telling me, don't do it. But I said, I'm actually going to sit down and find out how much I've spent on ESO since it came out.
Oh, God.
I immediately felt really bad about myself. Yeah.
Look at it this way. If you don't smoke and you don't really drink often, look, I'm just using that money for this addiction.
It's true.
Well, let's be honest. We're addicted to ESO.
100% true with that. Yeah, this is pretty much, and it's the only thing I really play. I mean, the kind of off topic, but the North American servers went down this afternoon. Like, I was getting ready for the show, and I'm like, this coming from the Xbox, who's been down pretty much all week. So let's not go there.
Hey, everyone got kicked but me. I was in there, Craiglearn, today, and I was the only person there. It was funny. I literally was just watching people drop off like flies.
Sir Poofington in chat's like, sorry, Cat, you can't eat this week. Daddy needs crowns. It's really true. And it's a sad, sad situation. But, like, the funny thing is, like you said, how addicted we are to ESO. Like, so the game went down, right? And I had a few minutes. My son was asleep. My notes were all prepared for the show, so I'm like, I got a few minutes, what am I gonna do? I'm playing ESO. Servers are down. Crap, what do I do? I literally sat here for like 20 minutes staring at my screen going, I have no idea what I want to do, until I saw Ark was playing Age of Empires 2. I mean, if it wasn't for Ark, who I saw playing AoE, I would have been like, I would have just sat here and stared at my screen, because I'm like, I don't have anything else I want to do. So yeah, addicted. But continue your story.
Also in my house, I ended up buying all the crafting stations, so I have six crafting stations in a small area, and I own the banker, the merchant, and the fence, and I have them all right there in my IKEA store, basically. So if people's like, I need to go get gold, right over here.
By the way, we extend credit. Nice.
That's just perfect.
I made 300k gold today. Oh, wow. With IKEA, and I was like, because I've been posting on like the Xbox Facebook group about it, mm-hmm. and I'm like, okay, come to my store, loop, and then someone comes to my store, and then I show them after a while, be like, oh yeah, and they're like, well, anything else you got? I'm like, well, I'll show you my maze. I actually have a guy who wants to pay me $1 million gold to go make him a maze. I was like, all right, I'll do it.
I actually expect that to be a thing going forward. Like, if people are really good at decorating, just period. Because mm-hmm. some people don't have. Yeah, like people like, hey, this is what I've done. I will decorate your house for you for a fee. I mean, I can see that happening. Because some people just don't have a touch. Like, they throw something down. It's like, okay.
Yep, looks good,
I guess.
Yeah, I had another guy who wanted me to make him like a canopy walkway, because like, if you saw in that video that I posted, mm-hmm. which, I don't know, look up ESO Maze, maybe it'll pop up. I don't know. I don't have many subscribers, but anyway, if you end up finding it, like, made it really hard to see. You have to play it in first person, which I actually only used to play in first person until I got to Vet 16. Like, I played through all the way through Vet 16 first person. Anyway, I don't know. It was really cool. I'm proud of it. I'm like, guys, go look. I was giving like Drew Wax to people who would go and finish my maze and whatnot.
I'll like,
if you can complete this,
make sure I get the link again, and I'll add it in the show notes. So when people look at the actual show notes, they can go view your video, because that's pretty cool. So just send me the link after this, and I'll get it in the notes. So.
Besides that, for what I've been doing with housing, ironically, a lot of people hate it on console, like, because of you're not able to put items in it, like storage. That was a function.
I know Galsner says that too in our guild, that he hasn't bought any housing because it's not something that because he doesn't care about decorating or anything of that nature. And coming from an old school gamer who prefers housing in Ultima Online provided storage, like that's one of the main reasons to have a house, because then you know you could have all this extra storage. So, I mean, I can imagine being on the controller as well, like, because I was in
there.
Very
user-friendly. Very.
Is it actually user-friendly to move stuff around with the controller? Because it felt kind of odd even on PC.
With the controller, it's very intuitive. Okay. Have you ever solid modeled anything before? Like on a touchscreen, I would guess? Maybe not?
No.
All right. So, like, if you press RT, it rotates clockwise right. Press LT, or RT zooms in. It's like, or LT zooms in and out. RT, I don't remember what it does. It does the button. But like, between LT, RT, LB, RB, it just rotates how you'd want it. And like, I made this maze, and like, people come to it and are like, oh my god, like, how'd you do this? And that's, to me, it felt very intuitive. And like, they have a like the Y button, you press that and it'll automatically go to the floor, and so then stuff won't go through the floor or whatnot. It makes it really easy to play stuff.
Okay, no, I'm glad it's simple. I mean, the fact that like when I'm rolling around on PC and it takes control of my mouse in order to do this stuff, it's just a little unnerving. I mean, I guess it's not too bad, but it's unnerving to me on PC. To, you know, do what I need to do. Now, I do have a question. Did you guys get the double XP on Xbox?
Double AP, you mean?
Double AP, yes, thank you.
Yeah, and people are literally going into Bleaker's outpost and Nicol outpost, and there's, like, say, red on one side, blue on the other, and they're, like, inside the outpost and just capturing flags. The red goes away, blue goes capture flags, and they're doing that back and forth. Like, constantly.
I'm glad that doesn't happen a lot, or at least I'm not seeing it here on European Mega Server. Either I'm not seeing it, or it doesn't really happen, because I've been fighting, like, for real with my groups since the beginning of the AP week, double AP week, and we haven't really done anything like that, so there may
be. I saw a person by doing that, like, they get the 20% AP buff from the Delve. And for each capture they get, that's not including hitting it, that's just for like capturing it, they're getting 14.9k AP. And you can get that every 3 minutes. But I heard about people are starting to get their AP and PvP rank revoked today. So
it's getting revoked itself? Or?
So, like, this is secondhand knowledge.
Yeah, all sure. Right,
so, face value. But anyway, one of my buddies, he was saying he's known some people that were doing this AP farming, basically. And then, like, say if they got 20, 30 million AP, and there have been people getting that amount, Zoss just kind of went in, wiped their AP, and reset their rank to what it was like a week ago.
I mean, if they actually did that, and rightfully so, like without messing up AP of some people that actually worked for it, I'm actually glad they did. I mean, I don't care about the Cyrodiil leaderboards or anything like that. But either way,
well, the leaderboards weren't
like
affected at all this week. They pretty much said it's
on Xbox. It is.
Oh, that's why you're getting
logging in from it.
I see.
It was supposed to be that this double AP weekend, the leaderboards, Emperor, and all that's going to be locked. At least that's how it was on the PC. Like, you couldn't become Emperor this week.
Yeah, so that's what I thought. And then I'm just, like, flashing on my screen is this person lost Emperorship, this person gained Emperorship, this person lost, this person gained, and it's constantly.
Yeah, I don't think it was supposed to at all. Like, at least I've not seen any of that this week while I was on, you know, PC, and I haven't seen any of that flashing back and forth, so I know they said it wasn't supposed to affect leaderboards, because obviously, I mean, if you do a week or so of this, maybe on the 1 week campaign, it wouldn't really have mattered. But I mean, like, if you're on one of the month long campaigns and then somebody plays like crazy this week and gets double AP, it's gonna put them so much farther ahead for the end of the thing. So they were like, no, we're not touching any leaderboards whatsoever.
So like on the weekend, I know someone who's at like 20 million AP.
Oh, like, yeah.
I think it affects the leaderboard, though, because I've been moving up the ranks myself. I mean, it's like I'm in 300s or something, but still I'm moving up the ranks. So I think the leaderboards are affected, but I'm not sure about...
You're on Hatteras, though, right? And that's a week-long campaign.
No, I'm on Ezra Star right now.
Oh, is that your main?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't think it was supposed to, at least it... That's what they told us.
They physically said in the notes somewhere forums that it wasn't going to.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I don't know. Looks like it might be.
Oops.
Oopsie. That's a problem. All right.
By the way, if anyone hears my keyboard or mouse sound, just let me know, because I decided to roll into PvP while doing the show this week, so I might
sacrifice you to some data. That's what we're gonna do.
Right now I'm throwing ballistas at blues, so I'm happy.
Whatever works, right?
Oh, I just got an achievement as well. Massive damage dealer. That's nice.
Very nice. Very nice indeed. anything else, Sean?
Okay. What was that? Did housing, did double AP.
Yeah, you're doing double AP at this point. That's where we left off, and we kind of got on the tangent of it's not supposed to affect, but it is.
Yeah. I guess another thing is I'm not one for glitching the game or doing anything like that. To me, that's personally wrong. Mm-hmm. But actually, I think there's another glitch for like duping items on Xbox right now. Or duplicating or farming something, because I've been seeing 20,000-30,000 Rubidite ore flying around.
Wow, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but I think there's something.
No, I wouldn't doubt it.
It might be just. I don't know. I'm not sure. I've never actually seen an item duplicate in MMORPGs. Like, I've never got the chance. So,
oh, personally? You didn't go do the banker one?
The what one?
Oh, okay. So with Hrothgar. Before, there's a Hrothgar survey duping glitch using the banker, and people would basically use the surveys. You'd put your survey in your banker instead of actually on your person, and you just run back and forth between the survey, which I guess is not duplicating, but still glitching, and it wouldn't actually eat up the survey, so you could just farm those nodes repeatedly.
I know they fixed that one. I knew they
did that. Yeah, that one's fixed.
But they were banning people for that.
They only banned them for 2 days, and they're allowed to keep everything.
Wow. That's kind of crazy.
My buddy who gave me 5.5 million gold? Yeah.
I see.
You shouldn't say that. You know, they might get
my buddy's
gold back.
My buddy's account's already banned, like on Xbox permanently.
Ouch.
Yeah. So,
I mean, at least you got to keep the gold. So that's.
He sent me a message saying I'm banned from Xbox, and I was like, "What'd you do? Overwatch hate mail."
Oh. I see. All right. Well, and he's not going to want it back anyway. So, ouch. Ouch indeed. All right. Anything else before we let Ark regale us with his tales?
Nope. I think that's it for right now that I can think of.
All right. Ark.
Well. So, as I said, I'm in PvP, and I've been doing PvP for the first time properly in my Elder Scrolls Online life. Before this, I just, you know, used to run with you guys in Imperial Steel or anything, but, you know, always had the PvE build, so it wasn't really effective. But this week, since the double AP thing came on, and I needed some of the Alliance skill line, Alliance War skills, I decided that I'd do some PvP. And since Galsner and Sean was working on this Clever Alchemist and Meridia set, I decided I'd roll with that. And I must say it works perfect. I'm going to change the Meridia set with reactive armor, though, because I'm not doing the Imperial City, but the open world PvP. Anyway, so I've been in PvP, and I've been enjoying it a lot. And I have to confess, I might be enjoying it more than PvE, actually. So,
really?
I've been killing it. Yeah.
You can see Edge unmute his mic, like, what?
I did. I was typing, and I was like, I don't want to do anything like that, you know, whatever. But, wow. Okay.
I mean, the thing is, it's so much fun when it's not lagging, and when I can actually kill stuff. By stuff, I mean trash, and by trash, I mean AD and DC. So, I've been running with the same group leader, which whom also invited me to her guild. So I guess what's the nickname? I want to give a shout out. I forgot to name. Guild is Bad Apples. I forgot to leader's name. Anyway, so yeah, I've been in Surreal. I've been killing Altmer is what's best in life, says Galaxy Green Chat. It definitely is, because the reason I might be enjoying it more than PvE is that there is a lot more, I guess, the feeling of achievement to it. Because in PvE, I'm a tank and I'm just usually standing there. And since I am a much better tank than your Sexblar, I can stand in boss AoEs as well. So I don't have to move
Ouch.
At all. I have to do that, yeah.
Ouch.
So being a great tank in PvE, it kind of gets boring, I guess. So in PvP, you know, I go against a DC or AD and I actually kill them, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And I do the slash sweep
emote, I saw
which,
that.
Which
yeah.
makes it all greater, yeah. Much better than teabagging, I guess.
Oh, you're sweeping out the trash.
You actually have to
sweeping
do this.
Sweeping out
you have
the
to,
trash, yeah.
You have to go get the Master Angler achievement and then have a bunch of fish on you and make sure you have the Master Angler achievement up. And then after you kill someone, flay some fish on the body and pop a perfect roll right over them. That's way worse.
I mean, if I ever had the RNG to drop a perfect roll, I could do that, but I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be able to get one. Also, I'm stuck in an infinite loading screen right now. Anyway, my one problem with Cyrodiil was that even after getting the build, by the way, thanks, I have to thank Ryan for my European Clever Alchemist set, and Galusknur, Agelos, and Nerdman for my North American Mega Server set. Both looks great, both in skin changer, you know, hashtag dress to kill. That's if you ever checked Twitter. That's a great set. Anyway, my tanking instincts always kicked in, and I jumped straight into, like, I don't know, 20 AD or 20 DC, and I kept dying. So I had to work on that. Now I stay in the back, wait for a straggler, and just kill them, which is fun. But yeah, overall, I mean, I don't have a variety of tales to tell because all I've been doing is PvP for the past week. So that's about it, I guess.
I have an idea for you because you like being standing there tanking and whatnot. And what I like to do in PvP sometimes, I'll find a chokehold area, especially like on some stairs or whatever, where I know there's a ton of, like, I'm DC. There's generally EP.
Get off the show. Get off. No. Bye.
Then generally, like, I'll get a lot of EP would be trying to just hit me. And then I have some of my buddies have meat bags and fire pods, especially with this no CP. Like, they just melt. And I wear Black Rose. If you hate on it, I don't care. I've been wearing it before it was meta. But, like, I have my build and it's very tanky too. And I just sit there, heal up, whatever. Use chains, pull people into me, and they're just getting meat bagged and then fire pot, and they're just dropping. So that might be an idea for you.
I could try that. Also, I don't hate Black Rose is my favorite set in the game. Especially since it comes in packed motif, packed style, like with the dragons and everything. It's kind of my favorite set. I don't know why would anybody hate Black Rose.
It's just because of the meta hate. And, you know, like, it got nerfed. Like, one piece went from max stam to max magic, and it went from 40% to 35% increase in constitution passive. Yeah. That max magic, I don't care. It's like, I use obsidian shield anyway. And obsidian shield just funnels your magic to your stam, gives you ult back, and gives you the increased healing, and gives you a shield. It's an awesome ability. So, whatever. And the 5% difference, you don't even notice. You really don't.
Yeah. So, oh, one thing. There was this, we called it a banana train. I still have no idea what it was. There, it was like at 15 AD. They all had the same skill, which is a fire ring around them. Now, I don't know what skill that is.
I got you. That's actually Grothdar. That's a Grothdar helmet, most likely.
Oh, that's the monster set. I don't know. Yeah. All 15 of them had this fire ring around them. And all they did, simply, was to just run. They just run, and we died. Everyone died. 15 AD. Just running like a train. And everyone dies.
I have the flame ult, then.
I don't know. I'm not sure. It's just it was killing everything and everyone. I mean, they weren't capturing the keep. They were just destroying the door. They run through the keep once, just make a circle, and everyone in the keep dies. And we didn't have anyone running negate on the group, so that was one problem as well. But there was no way to stop them without negate. I still don't know what skill it was. It might be the helmet, as you say. It might be the ultimate. I'm not sure. But it was killing everything. And it was
look at your tooltip?
I probably did, but I forgot. See, I'm still getting used to the PvP. In PvE, I don't care what killed me. So I still don't think about looking at the death recap to see what killed me. But yeah, a banana train. Avoid those. That's not a nice thing.
I've never heard of anything like that. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it was. It's probably very easy to counter, though. You know, if you just drop a negate on them.
Negate, talons, and then counter. Attack.
Yeah, it's just easy to counter. But the problem was no one in the group was running negate. So we were like dying like, I don't know, flies, I guess. But still, yeah, that's it, I guess. Okay. I've been doing PvP. That's the summary of it.
All PvP. All right. I like it. I didn't get to do hardly any PvP this week at all, even though they were doing the double AP and I was trying to get in. I didn't get a lot of chance to do a whole lot this week other than Imperial City, which we got to do. Oh, and we were running through that. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. We got to do that with the entire guild. And Ark, you were there because, you know, my magic kept you, waking up at the right time. So that was that worked.
Yeah. See, I was so sleepy. I forgot I actually was there.
Yeah, you were there. Ark was trying to figure out how I managed to get him to wake up and be available to play. So that was fun.
I mean, not just be available to play. You all decide, you know, Galaxy Nordman and Edgelos decided that they would gift me the PvP set that I said I was enjoying on the European side. So they actually got the whole set together. They crafted it. They got the pieces. And when I... And the day before PvP, our Imperial City Night, I fell asleep around like 7 p.m. and woke up around 1 a.m. So I was able to make it to the event, which was my 5 a.m. So it was completely random. At least so I thought. It should have been random. But when I logged in, they gave me this whole set. So the timing of my completely random falling asleep and they collecting the entire set to give me, it shouldn't be a coincidence. So I was thinking, you know, did they drug me to make me sleep at 7 p.m. so I would wake up for the event? Oh, AD. I can talk.
Can't talk, AD.
Found us all, AD.
Yeah. No, I don't think I drugged you, but maybe.
Kalos did it.
Yeah.
That's one less AD in Tamriel.
Well, there you go. 3K, I mean, that works for me. Wow. So yeah, that was definitely a thing that happened. It was good. It was definitely good.
I'm glad it happened.
Yeah.
No complaints.
Absolutely. I'm glad you actually made it. We didn't do a whole lot. We just did the up top, but man, we actually ran into quite a few people, you know, like a lot of a lot more PvP happened that night than what I thought was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that was a thing that, you know, we didn't get a lot of PvE, and we did a few of the quests like we normally do. And the intent is to go down and do the sewer event, right? But I'll tell you what, those world bosses, when you don't have CP, they hurt a lot more than they do normally, like a lot more. It was funny to see, because when we were doing these world bosses, we were having people die constantly.
Even I died. Can you imagine that?
It was, without CP, it is surprisingly difficult. To, you know,
I'm gonna ask you how it was, because I haven't been in Imperial City, and so I don't know.
It's different. It really is difficult. The mobs are not so much. The major thing that I noticed with monsters, like the trash stuff, not the bosses, is you have to pay a lot more attention to your resources, because you don't have the art, you know, the reducing stam cost or magicka cost and regain, that kind of stuff. You also don't have a lot of defense. Now, we weren't really running into the stam issue, because I was running repentance on my build, so every time ads died, I was repentancing people were getting resources back. That wasn't really a problem. But those bosses where there wasn't always a lot of ads every time, that became an issue. And then also, without those resistances, you really felt it. Like, you really felt when you didn't have stuff in the trees. So it was a thing. It hurt, but it was a good night. It was difficult. A lot more difficult than original.
Kind of remind you of when Imperial City dropped, like you'd have those two flag bosses and you had like 60, 70 people hitting him, he just wiped the whole group.
You know, I actually did mention that, where it felt a lot like when Icy first came out before they nerfed it down a little bit, because it really was that difficult. So, you know, it was very surprising. It took a lot of us by surprise, because one of the things that we were doing was people who bring people their characters to IC sometimes bring low B characters, because it really is good experience while you're in there, right? Like it really is, especially with a lot of people killing stuff. It's a lot of killing, a lot of kills. So you pop yourself like either one of the XP scrolls or maybe something like one of the Psijic Ambrosias. It helps a lot. Like, you really do get a lot of experience in there. So a lot of people were bringing, you know, these low B alts. But it was definitely noticeable that people were bringing low B alts when you don't have CP, because everyone else was taking the extra hits. Like, you really felt it. I've been running a few dungeons lately too. So, working on a few different builds. I started working on a new PvP build as well. More along the kin of Nerdman's build, because, you know, he destroyed my entire everything. All my PvP will died with Nerdman. So, you know, that was a thing.
Whoever duels with Nerdman falls into despair and shame and depression. I don't know. don't duel Nerdman.
It's true. We were joking about making him Crusher of Dreams. And he was actually showing us one of the things. He was doing a lot of this 1vx in Cyrodiil. And it was cool, because he was showing us, like, the one build he was doing. He died, but he took, like, 47 people with him on his kill counter before he died.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, yeah. So we were dueling him with my one build. And my one build's not bad, don't get me wrong. But the part that is bad for that build is the class I'm playing, Templar. I love Templar, but unless you have dead bodies with repentance, you have, like, zero way of regaining resource regeneration. You know, like, Dragon Knights, whenever you activate an ultimate, you regain a little bit of resources.
Yeah, every time you activate an ult,
something off the ultimate cost we get back.
Oh, yeah. We have nothing like that. So... The only thing that actually would be considered for like sustain passives is something called Restoring Spirit, which doesn't even restore. It pretty much just is a flat 4% reduced cost for everything we do, ultimate, stamina, magicka, whatever. It's 4% less. And I mean, that's nice, but it's not something that you can kind of actively do. Like, you guys can actively restore by just doing an ultimate, right?
Yep, and then Infinity Shield to funnel your magic to your stam so you can kind of level out your resources if need be.
Yeah, we've got nothing like that, so...
But you got Jesus Beam.
We do have that. That is true. And that's the thing that I noticed most with my PvP build was I was doing fine until I ran out of resources. And part of the problem with the build is it is kind of built, you know, because you're wearing 7 heavy. You obviously don't have a lot of damage. But the build was Fasala's Guile and Alchemist. So, you know, you get the burst from Alchemist. And then it's Fasala's Guile for the healing debuff. So you just got to outlast the other person, which is good in theory, but surprisingly hard to do with a Templar because I run out of resources very quick. So, I mean, that. So I started messing with a different build, trying to go more of the Stam build. I'm thinking going to go something more along the lines of Stam Archer with maybe like Spriggans or Wild Hunt or something. Try to copy Nerdman's build maybe, even though he's a Nightblade.
I don't remember what set it's called, but like one of the things it does is it reduces all your cost of your Stam abilities or bow abilities by like 8%, increases all damage for players by like 8% too.
It's I think not it's Marksman, like Marksman, is it? Is it Marksman?
Marksman or Archer or
Know. Mine might be what you're thinking about, because I'm thinking Marksman does, but the 8%, the more to players, is what kind of threw me, because I'm like, I don't think that has anything, but maybe I'm wrong. That's the only part that's confusing me between Marksman and Archer's Mind. There's those two that I can't remember which one. Gallisner says Marksman. Okay. Yeah, I knew one of them didn't have the PvP aspect to it. I just didn't know which.
But like, it's still the other. What Archer? I'm guessing is the other one where it's just everything. So.
Yeah. I was probably gonna run something along those lines, and then you know roll with the two hander as my you know like charge and you know execute build kind of deal. And see how that works. I've been thinking about trying out another Magicka build because I finally have enough skill points that I can put because I have 100 in crafting, obviously, for housing. And I say for housing now because I finally, being a master crafter, is helpful because I have those 100 points in there. That's kind of, it makes it very difficult with my character to do anything other than one build because I don't have a lot of skill points to go around, right? Because I have 100 of them tied up in crafting, or a little over 100 tied up in crafting. And I don't regret it at all. I love it, but I'm starting to get enough now that I can start branching out with one or two other builds. And one of the Magicka builds is nice because I already have all the points and all my passives for my skill line. Honestly, the only thing I really needed was Destruction Staff, and only really for one ability and a couple passives. Because I tried to figure out like one of the things I wanted to do, which ironically enough is Outcast build, Beamplar, get it? Jesus Beam, yeah. And I've been running that sort of, kind of like that idea. And that's been going okay, because then the only thing I really have to swap around is my CP and my traits, and that's like $6,000 to do that, right? So it's like, okay, whenever I want to try one or the other, that's what I'll do. So I've been running that in PvE related stuff lately, specifically in Kraglorn, because I'll tell you what, puncturing sweep is probably like the best thing on the planet. It's the Templar ability, the Magicka one.
Yeah.
And what's nice about it is it heals you whenever you hit, like for a portion of the damage you do. So you just become a healing nut. Like between Harness Magicka and that, I like can't die if there's mobs in front of me. Like So I'm thinking
OP in PvP as well.
What is that?
Wouldn't it be useful in PvP as well? Although I've never seen a Templar using it or staying alive long enough to make it useful, but it sounds like it would be too useful.
It's helpful because it really does. Like, now again, it's only a portion of the damage done. So like in PvE, I'm hitting for like, you know, 6 to 8K, and I'm healing for about 1.7 to 2. So it's not a whole lot. So of course its healing effectiveness is down in PvP because of the reduction.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, it could be helpful. I don't know. That's the thing. I don't really know if it would be incredibly helpful or not.
Start in a duel with like go against Nerd Man and then figure how well it works and then get your butt whooped.
Yeah, I might try to throw together, because the set I'm running is really simple. I mean, I'm using an Outcast build. He has a couple things you can do. He has like three different setups, double Destro, and then the best one obviously is 5 Burning Spellweave, and then 5 Moondancer, and then like a Kenna or something like that. I don't have any of that, but there's an easy to get setup which works really well because it's all crafting, and it's 5 Hundings and then Rest Giuliano. So you just fill in your extra slots. So it's like 5 and 4 and then 3 willpower. And I had that stuff already, and that's working out really well for me. Like,
I wasn't Hundings, because Hundings is Stam.
Hundings is Stam. Giulianos is the Magicka version of Hundings. It's literally the exact same thing, except for you switch stamina for Magicka, weapon crit for spell crit, and then the final one is, you know, spell power instead of weapon power.
I thought you said you were running Hundings and Giulianos, and I was kind of confused.
Hundings, I meant Twiceborn Star.
Okay.
5 Twiceborn Star. I don't know why I said Hundings. I have that for other stuff. And go from there. So that's pretty... the Giulianos is essentially a 1-for-1 swap for Hundings, except for it's Magicka. So that's what I've been running with, these extra sets. And I mean, for a cheap set, easy to get together, it's working really well. And obviously one of the most important things for me is looking good while doing it. And since it's all crafted, I can make myself look like whatever I want. So, you know, that's always a plus, but
you know, that's one of the best things about Galisk Nerd's build. Since it uses the Clever Alchemist, as the main damage source, I guess.
Yeah.
And since it's a craft set, we can make it look awesome, which is the best thing about that build.
It definitely is. Like, yeah, making yourself look cool. I'm still waiting for ESO to put in a real transmog system where, like, even if it was just like you could craft your own costume, you bought like a mimic stone off the thing and you could literally get a bunch of gear together and then like use the gem and it becomes a costume. That would be great. Like, really awesome to do. Like, that would just be amazing if they could do that. If they wouldn't do that, I'm still waiting for a high shoulder option because that set looks great, but the shoulder looks awful because it always clips on skin changer.
Yeah.
So there is that portion of it. And plus, monster helms are ugly. Like, they just are so ugly, and I just want to hide them. The helm I can hide, but I can't hide shoulders. I'm like, I just want to hide the shoulder because it's ugly as sin. I'm so vain, I know, but that's what I want.
I really think a transmog system's coming because they already have the system in place with the Imperial Edition, right? You can change
being
stuff
able to
Imperial
convert.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, and they're doing that with the Morrowind Tongue when it comes out with Morrowind. Like, that's already announced.
Right. My only thing is that with the transmog, I would love it. The reason why I would like one of the transmog is, I like the convert, but it converts it to whatever the style is that, you know, or whatever the weight is. And I'm sorry, I don't like the look of medium and light armor. I think it looks...
I've never used it, but I see.
Yeah, costumes only. And I know people originally, when I think I said this a long time ago, were like, oh, well then how will I know what you're wearing in PvP? How would you know anyway? People are always wearing the wedding dress. You know, like, they did away with that in with costumes anyway, so what is the point?
I actually know people who wear costumes specifically for that reason, so other people won't know what they're using.
Right. Yeah.
How can you tell that in all this action anyway? I can't tell. I can't differentiate friend from foe in this chaos.
I honestly think it's probably closer for like the one-on-one kind of thing. That's when people tend to notice. Like when you're 1v1ing on a bridge, if you see someone rolling around with, you know, like if they're wearing all heavy, you know, they're probably wearing, you know, Black Rose or something along those lines, and you can counter accordingly. Obviously, if they're wearing heavy, they also have that damage boost as well. So you have to, you know, play that counter game. So wearing a costume in PvP hides what you're wearing. And since they didn't disable costumes, I would love, you know, to be able to craft our own costume. And I mean, I don't think it'd be all that difficult one way or the other, doing it that way, like by making a stone or something that you're able to make a costume out of whatever you want and then, you know, just craft it right into a stone. And that stone then takes the place as a crafted costume. It just imprints.
I mean, I'm all for transmog system, and you know it. And I honestly believe that it will be the next ESO Plus advantage.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Cover up for the missing of, you know, one quarter with the expansions.
No, I could honestly see that, because they already have costume dying. So like transmog being an ESO Plus thing, like you can transmog your gear to whatever you want if you're an ESO Plus. Or maybe along the lines of
and buy these like costumes that we already have, kind of like they do with the colors.
Yep. Or buying stones. That would be something that I could see individually. Like, you want to craft your own costume, do the stone idea. But if you're an ESO Plus, you can do it at will for free whenever you want without, you know, having to buy the whatever. Because they do it, like, you can't costume die if you're not ESO Plus unless you buy one of those dye imprint things. I think that works, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, but you only can use those dye imprints. You can't change those dye imprint colors.
Yes, exactly. So, like, ESO Plus offering you transmog, or you can buy a transmog stone if you're not with crowns. I could see them doing something like that. That would be my thought. I don't know. But that's kind of one of the things I'm hoping they do, because they have such good armor in the game, but some of the sets, like my best in slot sets, are just ugly as sin. Like, for instance, the Burning Spell Weave, it's Daedric. Some people may like that, and I know it's 100% subjective, but I hate the Daedric style, so why would I want to wear it? And unfortunately, I'll have to if I don't have a costume that I can, you know, cover up. And unfortunately, I don't have any costumes that I really like in the game right now. Like, there's really none that really go, yes, this is what I want. So, that's kind of an issue.
We'll see in time.
Yeah. I mean, well, I'm sure we'll get there eventually. That's actually when they announced Morrowind. It was one of the things that I was actually talking to Robot Dancer in the guild, going, I know they got a big announcement. This is before we knew what Morrowind was, like that it was going to be an expansion, but they said there was going to be a big announcement for ESO, and it turned out to be Morrowind. I was hoping that when the next announcement would be some sort of transmog system, and even when they announced Morrowind, I was messaging her on the phone going, they announced an expansion. This is great. You know, obviously they add new systems when they do expansions. Maybe transmog will be one of them, and unfortunately it doesn't look like it is, at least not at launch. So hopefully we'll see that maybe in the quality of life patch that they'll do later on in the year.
That'd be actually something that they could say, like, oh, we're getting this kind of like the Battlegrounds, or would they hide that a little bit? Do you think?
I don't know. Like it depends on how I feel. Like, that would be a major feature, right? Like, because people like that kind of stuff. I don't know. Maybe that is, you know, it's not unknown that they wouldn't, but the only game that I really have for reference is, you know, World of Warcraft did that, right? But it came with that was a highlight. Like, during their patch video, they showed that off, because, you know, transmog was a big thing.
I can actually expect this, though, like, because they announced Morrowind, people went crazy, but it's not coming out till the June 6th. And when did they announce it? February something?
Yeah, but we already got Homestead, so our next DLC drop isn't till June anyway.
What if they, I'm just throwing an idea. Yeah, I probably am completely wrong. But what if they just wait until like a month before, like so it'd be May 6th, and be like, oh yeah, by the way, there's this transmog system, to get people to start talking again about it. Because the more, they just want people to be talking about the game. Cause, yeah,
keep the hype up.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Kind of thing. It makes sense to me.
It would be neat. But just given the fact that they've already kind of planned out like all their ESO lives, like they've really done where essentially what they're doing is showing off all of their ESO live stuff for the next, like until launch, they're showing off different parts of Morrowind. So unless it was something that was hidden, I don't know. I think it'd be cool.
You can hope.
No, I mean, I can honestly hope. I'm not shooting it down to shoot it down. I would love it. But also the cynic side of me goes, why would they do that when they could just save it for a quality of life DLC or, you know what I mean? Because they pretty much said how their new cadence is going to go is there's going to be a quality expansion, of life patch at the beginning of the year, like Homestead. Then there's going to be expansion or chapter. Then there's going to be a dungeon pack. And then there's going to be a normal DLC of some type. So, I mean, we're going to see one normal, like, zone DLC, apparently. Like a smaller zone or a continuation of a quest line, something along those lines. We'll see a quality of life patch, which is where I think, you know, we could see the, you know, something like this, a system like this. Because Homestead was a quality of life. It was a system patch. Then they were going to do a Shadows of the Hiss DLC, which I could also see them adding it into there. Because Shadows of the Hiss did the two dungeons, but I feel like there was more stuff to it. Maybe it was just a more of a balance patch, but, you know, something. I could see it doing that. I would love to see it in, like, before Morrowind comes out, but like I said, cynic in me goes, no, why would they do that when...
Yeah, if they already, like, if they have the system in place and there's maybe just a few bugs in it, they're... In like they like say if they could have it ready before June 6th, it does make sense marketing wise to just we can push that back.
Right, we can sell it in part of a DLC rather than, you know, because we already got people going for this
Warden
for Morrowind. People are buying it. You know, I could see them doing something along those lines, right?
Yeah, I mean at this point, most of the systems in the game. That we are expecting, I would say, is already implemented in some way, but it's just a matter of marketing when to release it, whether to release it or not.
Right.
Just keep it in store for, you know, for the bad times.
Right.
When the hype for the game goes low, just shoot something up there and people will return to the game. That kind of deal.
So, I actually, because you're talking about systems now, we know spellcrafting's a thing. They just said it's on the back burner. So right. I had a theory of what spellcrafting is going to be. So Zas likes to reuse their animations. Like we've seen that. Like, so because it's just reusing their own old stuff, whatever. My idea is, so right now, those yellow lore books you can find, if you click on them, it actually goes away and then it goes in your lore library. Like, so they glow like mages books except yellow, and now the yellow in it or glow it goes away. I'm thinking what you're gonna end up having to do is you're gonna upgrade spellcrafting by finding those lore books instead, and then once you find those lore books, you might maybe pick up a mat in like bookshelves or whatever, because there's bookshelves everywhere for crafting materials for like spellcrafting. And if you were, like, say, a DK, you can make a DK spell of any of the spell trees if you have it maxed out and you have the spellcrafting ability for it, and it'll scale up based off your spellcrafting. And then you almost quick slot, like, a scroll like you did in, like, Oblivion or Skyrim, and it'll be on the same cooldown timer as your potion. Like a consumable.
I mean, obviously, when they showed us the concept video of it, like, they kind of showed us what it was supposed to do. It was supposed to be, like, this...
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they showed us this all the way back at QuakeCon. They showed us, like, there were these hidden areas that you could only find while you're there. So you found, like, essentially it looked like a door in Lord of the Rings when they were looking for the Dwarven Door. And, you know, you go in there, and then you found, like, a stone tablet or something. And you would make sketches, and as you learn the sketches, you'd put them together in order to learn how to do the different elements of spellcrafting. And then there were supposedly crafted stuff that, like, whenever you learned it, you could morph it, but it took a consumable, like almost kind of like a poison, if you will. Like you had to have a
okay.
So yeah. they kind of did show it, but I don't know. I know they said it's still around, but it really is
like
one of those.
Back burner.
Yeah, very back burner.
The main guy who was in charge of spellcrafting left Zos.
Yeah, Nick Conkle. We went to Riot.
Nick Conkle, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's with Riot now. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I did not know
that. I was just thinking, like.
Oh, yeah, no.
If they did it, this is how I'd think they would do it.
Yeah, they showed that. This was years ago, mind. This was, you know, this was QuakeCon. This was the QuakeCon footage when we still saw stuff like Merkmire and, you know, all those cool places.
Before it even came out on console.
Oh, I think it was before console was even announced.
Yeah,
or,
before.
Or not announced, but it was one of those like, yeah, we're still working on console. We don't have a date yet, you know, that kind of thing. So yeah, this was a long time ago that this video was around, obviously.
Probably why I never seen it.
Yeah. But yeah, if you're interested, you can go look at the QuakeCon from like 2014 and you can see some of the concept stuff that they had done. But I don't know obviously how much of that would even still be around given the fact that, you know, the mastermind for that particular thing, is no longer with Zos, right? Like, and he's been gone for years, so I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know. But yeah,
I was just thinking it'd be kind of cool. Like, say if you were DK and you wanted to pop a Breath of Life, for instance, be like, oh, I have a Breath of Life scroll, click, and then you have a 40-second cooldown or whatever.
One thing about Spellcraft is that the game currently has a large variety of builds, considering, you know, you have four classes, all classes can use every weapon, and then there's champion points, there's new guild skill lines, and so on and so forth. I mean, if they also add the spellcrafting, things might get, I don't know, way too complex, I guess.
Maybe.
Not that I would mind, but they might not want that, because the current money in gaming industry is in being casuals, allowing casual players to understand and play your game and enjoy. So making things overcomplicated might not be the best choice in terms of marketing.
I can't lie with that, but it's also proven that retention is not something you can keep with going casual. You don't keep that retention. You're marketing, you're basing people off of...
Yeah, and the game is about 3 years old now, so now...
Yeah. If you want to continue to grow your player base casual, you want to keep the people you have, not just lose people every three, you know. Because the people who are here, who, you know, or are still playing, are the ones who obviously are spending a lot of money in your game, like me, for instance.
I mean, it's a matter of balance at the end, but
yeah, you can't be so insane, but at the same time, there needs to be a balance.
Good with that, I feel like, though, like, because with the veteran, like, dungeons and trials versus the normals, like, I can solo every normal on my tank, no problem. Like if you try doing like a vet trial though, like if you're trying to do a vet Maw Vorkash, that's really hard. And sorry, Ark, your tank will die.
No, yeah, that's probably true. There is hard stuff in the game, absolutely, and it's good that they have those things. But I don't know. At the same time,
as I was saying, like splitting it up, because there's like this normal ones where people are like, hey, I want to go do a dungeon and go do a normal dungeon as a casual player. But and right. Then the like where it's veteran.
I wouldn't try a veteran trial without reaching to, you know, CP 600. Because my main tune in North America is at 350 something, I guess.
Right.
So, yeah, no veteran trials.
No veteran trials. Yeah, no, they're fun. yeah, they're definitely fun. I actually enjoy that they do have that range of stuff to do. But yeah, I mean, if you really think about it, the game is fairly complicated with the sheer amount of sets and stuff, like, and how builds work. It's not just a skill layout. It's the whole package. And if you're running through with just like your standard, you know, crafted gear or whatever, without, you know, taking into account, like, you can't be level 50 and go, okay, I just have, I don't know, White Strikes Retribution on, you know, happy day, and I'm a DPS. It just doesn't work that way. Or you take it into PvP and it's just not as effective, right? There are things that aren't effective because you're, you know, it doesn't work with your build. That's what I'm, more or less what I'm trying to say. Just because you have one set and it might serve a purpose, your particular skill layout and whatever may not work with it. So, I mean, they're not opposed to more complicated ideas. I mean, now you also have potions and poisons into the mix as well. For PvP, there's certain things you got to run. Yeah, I don't think they'll make it too uber casual, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I was actually, one of my buddies quit this game for 6-8 months or whatever, and he came back and he knew the game very well. Like, he was maxed out at that time, blah, blah, blah. Comes back and he's like, I have no idea what's going on. Like, help me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You and I, when I don't play for 2 weeks or something like that, a month, I came back and takes me at least a couple of hours to adjust. It's a very vast amount of the word very vast. Yeah, that's just, yeah, it.
No, I understand what it is. It's not a super casual game one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Few of the items are, like, how the game's played. Some things are really casual. A lot of the overworld stuff is, but there are certain things, Maelstrom, Dragonstar, Vet Trials, cool, that are definitely not for, you know, the faint of heart. Okay.
Oh, I might try Maelstrom Arena as well with this build, now that I can deal damage instead of just take damage.
You might need to remake it, though, as Divines or something. You probably wouldn't want to run Impen, because that's just a waste.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, Impen's worthless to you at this point, so I don't know. Like, I wouldn't run any Impen. Mm-hmm. You could do the same build. You're just going to have to, you know, swap out.
I would drop Meridia as well at that point. Maybe a Ravager or something to go with the Alchemist.
People who don't know, creatures can't crit you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Impen's useless.
Yep. Oh, I just got a Lord Duskwarden's Divine Light Shoulder from my chest today. That's pretty nice. I have been trying to do a lot of monster helm hunting lately, and I have still been continuing my Kraglorn adventures, which are always fun. I found that add-on, by the way, the add-on I wanted to not hide the quest text, but make it so that it scrolls as they're speaking. That way I can't, you know, read ahead, so I can kind of be in that immersion zone. So I found that, and I've been playing around with that, and that's really nice.
I could try that, because if I read the text, because I do, before the character reaches the end of the first sentence, I end up reading the whole thing.
Yep.
So I just skip it.
Yep.
Because I'm impatient. I just skip it.
I try I definitely try not to be, but the problem is, I kind of am impatient when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely is. Oh, wow. I'm going to have to keep that. I just actually noticed that I got a set called Hulking Draugr, and it's nothing super special. It's just for maxing out your stamina, but it's like the Draugr set is 933 stam, 933 stam, 933 stam, 2,412 stam. So that's your whole 5 set. I'm actually gonna keep those pieces. Actually, I got an in-pen one,
it's
too.
It's a very good build, actually, using that. Like, if you mix that with, Spriggans, you hit, a truck.
Yeah, I'm gonna hold on to those pieces. I actually just got one in-pen, too, which is pretty awesome. Yeah, I ran that dungeon because it happened to be the pledge today. It wasn't something I was like, you know, I wouldn't go Direfrost really any other reason. But now that I see one of those, I'm like, wow, that's actually a really cool set. I'm going to hold on to that and just kind of throw it into my bank and let it.
Because you're a Templar, it actually will buff up your healing with like your vigor and stuff.
That's true.
Well, I guess that would be anybody's because it's just that scales off your max resources.
Yeah. I might have to sit down and think about this for a little bit. I don't know. I'll have to play. My problem is I'm also doing the half Magicka too, because one thing I've been running into with Kraglorn is because some things are grouped, not everything, but some things are. Depending on how I'm playing, it requires a lot of vigor and rally and stuff to go off. But with the Templar puncturing sweep, I don't have to do hardly anything. I just can attack and keep healing. So,
all them jabby jabs.
Them jabby jabs. Yeah, which I would have to be doing anyway is really nice. So,
by the way, how do you activate the anomalies in Kraglorn?
Just
do
go up and attack it?
Yeah. It has to have the red crystal. If it's like a gold kind of ring, that means it's already completed, and you just have to wait for it to respawn.
Yep. But you actually attack the crystal.
Yeah, a couple times it said I was entering a group area, but nothing was happening, so I thought maybe there was something.
It's just telling you that where you're entering, whatever event is there is designed for a group. That's all it. That's all it is.
So that's what I'm going to solo try. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're not real hard. The hardest part of the whole thing is the final guy. He hits like a truck, but in your tank build, you should be okay as long as you have a way of healing.
And at that point, you generally have like another four people that just rush out of nowhere and then just like helping you. And well, like, where the heck you
that could happen, but if you are alone, more often than not, when I do it, I'm alone, which is weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Like I get it all the way down there, and I generally die with that guy because, you know, he summons adds and stuff like that, and I try to keep alive, and he kind of crushes me. So, yeah.
I couldn't do that alone if I tried, because there's people, like, I'll start the crystal, start the vent, get, like, halfway through it, and all of a sudden, like, it's a Zerg down there, and I'm like, where'd you guys all come from? One of those dolmens where people are trying to farm, like, an Alakir or whatever for Sword Singer. It's just a ton of people.
People actually hunt for Sword Singer.
Yeah, like
I think that's a nice build. A nice set, though.
It might be for other builds, but not my Templar because of the jabs.
Because yeah, it doesn't scale off jabs.
Yeah, jabs. If I were anyone else who was actually using like Wrecking Blow or something, absolutely, it would probably be fantastic. But I'm only thing it would actually be buffing off my main bar is Executioner, which I'd only be using at the end anyway.
I mean, my entire damage comes from two-hander abilities right now, so Swordsinger is something I would consider.
Though, to realize, I was kind of thinking about this. I think Huntings is a little bit better than Swordsinger because that only buffs your two-hand abilities, and it doesn't like buff your healing that you get from that or anything else.
Automaton might be a good set to look at too.
Yeah, I actually tested Automaton and Swordsinger mixed. And then I was trying to, and then I did like one Kina, one Valadreth, just did a ton of like two hand weapon damage. Hit like a wet noodle still. I think there's a glitch between Automaton and Swordsinger where they don't stack for some reason. I'm not 100% sure. But like someone else's like Wrecking Blow, one for one, mine was only doing like 1k, 1.5k more damage. Not a lot for how much more physical damage I had going into it. Made me sad.
That is sad, because I know we were theory crafting on our Discord about it and talking about Automaton and Sword Singer between the two of them for stamina, you know, DPS build. And yeah, it's sad if they're bugged and not really showing much of a difference.
Yeah, it didn't. Like, it was a little bit, but like, I had full mighty, blah, blah, blah. Didn't matter.
Hmm.
I'm not sure.
Look at that sad face. Please, someone capture that image.
My sad face?
Yeah, you had such a sad face right there.
I'm so depressed. Well, yeah, because I had been collecting some of those sets too. So I'm like, oh, all that work for nothing.
If Zealot is still in chat, I'm pretty sure
he If Zealot hears that, he'll find out where it's at and he'll get it. Zealot will always get it.
He'll just wait for the entire thing, rewatch it.
And here comes a meme.
And there comes the meme, yeah. But yeah, that's actually been pretty much all I've been doing lately. Like I said, I really wanted to get into PvP this week because of the double AP. But work and whatnot just never seemed to really line up, and I didn't get a chance. So I'm kind of sad about that. But here we are. I'm still not near my house yet. I have been selling some stuff, but then I've also been buying sets. So, I mean, it's a never ending problem.
How much are you short?
Let's see. I have 3.4, almost 3.5 million. So, what would that be? I can't remember. What's the exact price for the
3.7.
So I'm like, 2.2 or 202k.
Also, something you should realize, I guess I didn't realize this till after I bought my house, like, those statues look so cool, and they're 100k, like, they're 50k, and I have every single one in my house.
Which statues? The
all of them.
Oh, just if it's a statue, it's 100k. Enjoy.
Okay, so every statue that you can buy from, I have every achievement in the game. Basically, I'm only missing like three of them. And
let me look. What? No, it looks like we're okay.
Okay, maybe it's just college kid. But
yeah. Keep going.
Okay. So after you get certain achievements in each region right now, because of Homestead, you can buy statues or special items for your house in there after you have that achievement, and like. The gold ones, which all the statues are gold, are between 25 to 100k each.
I remember. I saw one in the Fighters Guild. You can get like a Daedric Anchor piece or something like that. Yeah, I mean, I'll probably buy some of those. But what my whole plan for housing being a long-term goal is literally to buy the house but not actually buy anything. Craft it all myself if it is at all craftable. Mm. I know there's a few achievement ones that you'll buy, and I'll probably buy them. But those will be... They'll be the finishing. Like, I'll have the room done and go, okay, room's done. Well, let's add a trophy in here, and then I'll go buy it.
So, yeah, all the achievement ones are non-craftable. And that adds up to, like, I think 200 or 300 items. Because each region has, like, 10 or something like that.
Right. I'm not going to sit there and add every trophy. I'll add it if it fits into the room. You know what I mean? Like, in the entryway of the house, I might put one of the Daedric Anchor chains, because, you know, that's really cool, and I play a Templar. So, you know, it seems fitting that I have the, you know, a fallen chain of Molag Bal, but that's just me, right? But,
can
yeah,
I
no.
just point out one thing about PvP, or about ESO in general? It's kind of unrelated, but... You know how the doors slowly open up in PvP?
You should be able to walk right through there.
you can see inside, like the players moving around inside, and I just realized that's something very good, actually. It would be instanced in most times, in most games. Something like that would be instanced, I guess. But you can actually see what's going on inside, and it's just great.
Hmm.
And I was standing right in front of the door when it cracked, and I'm dead.
and lesson learned.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that kind of ends our tale. So we're going to move into the news. There wasn't a lot this week, but there were a few things. Patch 2.7.8 came out on Monday. The major thing for this patch was the fact that it released the double AP weekend, as well as fixing a few graphical errors. I'm gonna go ahead and pull it up here real quick. One thing that I noticed that was more for item sets is Scourge Harvester fixed an issue where the item's set proc was healing based on a different source of damage other than itself, like it was supposed to. So if anyone was running Scourge Harvester, you might see a change with that. That's pretty much the only thing I really saw that was of note, because it would actually affect combat that I saw. Treasure chest found by the following treasure maps have a small chance of containing paint furnishings. So that's, you know, that's something that they added in as well. So now when you're doing treasure chests, there might be a chance that when you open up one of those treasure maps, you may get a painting, which I guess are that's non-craftable.
Yeah, I opened 100 of them after that patch, and I didn't get a single one. I was so salty.
I mean, I got a couple. I think I sold a few. Like, I got, like, a desert painting.
Oh, I've seen them, like, in trade chat or whatever. I just personally didn't get one after 100 maps.
Oh, I've gotten two. And I've sold them, and I mean, they didn't go for a lot. I think it was something like 20 or 30K a painting or whatever, but that's all they went for here. Again, consoles different. Like, the fact that your prices are so high for, like, tempers is kind of amazing to me. But that's one of the things I noticed.
Well, it dropped. Remember, like, it was 25K right before Homestead, and now they're, like, under 10. 10,000 right. is, like, everywhere.
I don't think they were ever that high on PC, though. Do you remember, no. Ark? I don't know.
The highest I seen was in Europe, and that was 11K, I guess.
I think I was 15 was, I think, the highest I've ever sold anything like that for. So, I mean, it's there, but, you know, it's not completely. So
there's actually, it's a guild I'm in, too, but it's like the Empire Trade Guilds. This is a guy who owns 5 or 6 guilds, all, and they're all his, and he will control the market. One time, I remember he just wanted to buy every single CUDA. It didn't matter what it was. He went to every single trader, bought every CUDA in the game, and he did that for a week straight, and then sold them all his.
Right. Well, you can definitely do that. That's dedication. You can control the market in that regard. So yeah, I've seen people do that. That's a big thing with World of Warcraft, playing the market in that way. People play the market. They buy up everything that's lower and then mark it all up, jack the price up, and deal with it in that regard. So, yeah, I mean, it is a thing people do, but I don't know.
What do you do? If you have that much money and you have the time and ambition to go do it,
yeah.
Stopping them.
My son's not happy right now. I can hear him up there. But yeah, that was the patch. So there wasn't a whole lot to it. Next up on the show notes, obviously, is the Wild Hunt Crown Crates are now in. So the Storm Atronach season is over, and now the Wild Hunt is here. And that will run probably till June, the release of Morrowind, because they're going to start the Dwemer crate season, because obviously if you pre-ordered, you get like 15 crates. So I'll get like 15 crates.
Wait, the Dwemer season?
They're three-month seasons. There's 4 seasons in a year.
Yeah, but how are they going to do, you know, guars and camels and stuff like that?
Well, if they can do Spriggan made out of roots, I'm pretty sure they just do it off of like gears. Like they're...
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. Not
I don't know.
That face too.
That's what we currently have there, sir. So, I mean, oh. I just got attacked and a guard's going to try to kill me. It's pretty funny.
Well, I actually have a buddy or a couple people mentioned they're never going to buy exclusive mounts again.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because of crown crates.
Oh, yeah.
Because they like said this was exclusive. I spent $50 on this mount and now it's in a crate.
Yeah,
I'm not going to buy them anymore.
And I mean, that's kind of like what I see with a lot of the time limited stuff, which kind of puts a thing on the time limited where, oh, it's time limited now, but then it'll disappear and go into crown crates in the next season or something. So that is a concern people have shown. And I think one of the major concerns with crown crates is the fact there's no way to earn them in game. Like even other games that have crown crates, or not crown crates, but crates in one way or the other, there's a way of earning them in game that you can get a few of them. And then if you want more chances, you can buy more.
Yeah. All they need to do is even do like a weekly, daily quest, whatever. You can earn one crown crate.
Yep. And then just buy more.
Just completely. That actually probably make them more money. Cause I'm never going to buy a crate. But if I start getting the crates and I see something that's about to end, like say if it's a crown season, I really want, like, say the Spriggan Bear or whatever, and I know this thing is going to end in 3 days and there's no way I'll be able to get it through in game, I'll buy crown crates, and that's something I will never buy,
right?
If like how it is,
right? Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah, if there was a way to get it in game, I'd be working on it. But then if the season's near the end, I'm like, I still didn't get what I wanted. All right, I'm buying a few crates, right? Just to, because I didn't earn it in game for whatever reason. Absolutely. Like you said, if it was a daily quest, you get a crate a day. If you do it, whatever. Wonderful. And then by the end of the season, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to drop, you know, 5,000 crowns, buy an extra 15 so I could try to finish it up, right? And go from there.
Come on, Zoss, listen, please.
Yeah. Please, Zoss. That'd be great. Honestly, if there was a way to earn them in-game, even at, like you said, a daily or weekly rate or so, anything like that, just they're available in-game, all my complaints would be gone, because I'm like, I don't care. I mean, I can get them in-game. Yeah. If I want more chances, I'll buy outside, but there's a way of getting it in-game. But that season's now out, so you can check that out. Either in game or on the official forums, they did add new items to not just. This was a question I kind of had, was the lesser awards, the epic and everything like that. The legendary, of course, the themed mounts, but they've added new stuff. So, and it looks like they've taken out. So maybe you won't see the battle mage costume anymore. We'll have a new battle mage costume that you get every patch.
All I want is Yokudan Charger to come back to Crown Store so I can purchase it. That's my favorite mount in the game. And it was just 700 crowns, and it's no longer in the Crown Store.
They really should do the ESO Plus thing, like, oh, if you have ESO Plus, you can buy it. But you have to have ESO Plus in order to, like, anything that was previous. That'd be so nice. Not gonna happen, obviously, because of Crown Crates, but...
Yeah. It is what it is. I hope that one day it will return. I still have faith.
Bottom of the page. All right. Sorry, I had to type that out. Someone in chat asked where did I see pre-orders get 15 crates. It's on the pre-order page. It's called the Discovery Pack. The Discovery Pack is for pre-order. I'm going to go ahead I have it up here right now. Pre-order Morrowind with the Discovery Pack. You get the exclusive warden costume, the dwarven war dog pet, dwarven crown crates. I think they said 15. It doesn't have the number on here, but I think it's 15. Think it 15. Treasure maps and the experience scrolls. So it's kind of like
mount
the... no mount, just a costume and the dog.
I'm sad now.
Yeah, no mount. Yeah, you get experience scrolls, crown crates, treasure maps, the dog... and the warden costume, which the warden costume looks cool. I was probably going to pre-order it anyway because, you know, Morrowind, but the warden costume is actually something I will probably use because I like that style, that kind of simplistic style. I prefer that, you know, the scale and leather.
Is the armored warhorse like the Dwemer? Ish armored warhorse a pre-order bonus or a collector's edition bonus?
Collector's edition remember. Bonus.
Nice.
Sorry, I thought you meant from the expansion pack. If you look at the actual, you will get the armored warhorse, Sean, with
I just Googled it now too. I'm like, wait a minute, I for sure saw that somewhere.
Yeah, but that's with the collector's edition. That's anyone who buys it even after the game's out. We'll get that. The Discovery Pack apparently is just for pre-orders. Whether or not the Discovery Pack will appear in the Crown Store later, like the Adventurers Pack did, or
probably will.
You know, like the any race, any faction. That was originally supposed to be a pre-order bonus for when the game first came out, but then ended up in the Crown Store later. So it may end up later if that's a thing. But yeah, so that's there. I'm gonna go ahead and close all these windows I now have. Let's see, Crown Store Showcase. We had a Crown Store Showcase for March 2017. Major thing that I saw, obviously, we got the Jester's Festival hat pack coming out because we'll have the Jester's Festival. The Earth Tier Cavern, the new house, that the big housing area, the Crown Store only house, will be available. on March 9th is when it's first available. Then there's some more furniture related items. The Saber Cats are available. We'll see those.
I love it.
I do like the Saber Cats. I'll probably end up getting the Saber Cats. So
because it looks fierce. Like no other mount in the game looks as badass as this.
Right.
Especially not the wolves. I was so disappointed with the wolves.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why the wolves felt the way they felt, but I agree. Now, Wicked Wolf will probably tell you otherwise, but there's just something about them that I didn't feel real.
Friendly. They shouldn't look friendly.
That's true.
You say you are more fierce, like maybe more snarling?
Maybe the fur being a little kicked out might have been something else you could see. You know what I mean? Like if you look at the Saber Cat, it doesn't quite look like the Senshi Tigers because it has the fur flaring out. It just gives it a more fearsome appearance. Like, you know, it's been out in the wild hunting and starving, so it's angry and mad. I don't know. That might be part of it. But yeah, that is definitely a thing. And a new personality for the Jester, which obviously will come out during the Jester's Festival, which is March 23rd through the 3rd of April.
Yep.
So, Jester's Festival is coming out. That's always cool. This seems like a kind of light patch. I mean, I guess in reality, in terms of cosmetics, it's a light one because there's one mount, one pet, one personality, and then a few hats from the Jester Festival. But the big ticket item, of course, is a few housing items. The Earth Tier Cavern, that's probably going to be fairly expensive given the cost of manors, which are like, what, 11 to 15K right now?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking this will be equal to that or higher because it's an exclusive. So you're looking somewhere in the, you know, probably 12 to 15K easy, maybe higher.
Yeah.
Do you think that like the cavern and the island might be a timed exclusive too? Because it's not, they haven't came up with it yet.
Don't know. I would say no. Maybe to add some sort of exclusive, but here's the thing. I don't think they'll be time exclusive only because of the sheer cost that they have. And I don't think Zoss would want to throw them in the crown crates. Cause if you got lucky and got it, you know, for a small amount of money, even though it's obviously the odds are not in your favor, just like the Hunger Games, with crown crates, I don't know. Like, I don't think they would throw it in the crown crate because of how expensive they are. Because nothing in the crown crates, with the exception of the, you know, the exclusive mounts that aren't anywhere else, are that expensive. Because, you know, if you didn't get anything and turned them in.
Buy the mounts with the gems, then they are that expensive.
So. Yeah, it's about $100 or so in order to get them. So, yeah, I agree. They're there, but you still have the chance. I don't think they're going to... Because here's the thing. They're 400 gems. Where would they put the house? They wouldn't put that in the Apex line because that's supposed to be for...
Legendary line.
Yeah, but those are only 100, you know? That's...
Oh, I was thinking Legendary above Apex. My bad.
Oh, no. Legendary is below that. Yeah. Legendary already exists, so...
Mythical.
Mythical, yeah. 0.001% chance.
I mean, they didn't write that it's time exclusive.
They did not.
It was not announced. I just was wondering if, because they, like, the island and this, like, we're just getting this, what, March 9th, right, is the cavern? Because they kind of split them all up.
Yeah, the tropical getaway, they pretty much said on ESO Live will just be later, you know, TM. So we don't know when that is, but this one's coming. So, but I do expect it to be expensive just because based on the manners that are in the game already, being unfurnished are minimum 11K, and I think they go up to like 13K unfurnished. That's, you know, fairly expensive. So I don't think they're going to time limit that because I think that would really tick people off. Because, you know, obviously people are going to want to save their crowns for those things if it's something that they want, right?
Yeah. But,
The final bit of news that we have this week is they released a new lore story on the official forums, Faith in the Shadow of the Red Mountain. I'm obviously not going to read it because I don't have that voice, and I'm also in-game at the moment, so I'm not diverting my my attention for. But if you are really into Dunmerry lore, it is actually a really good book. I've already read it, and I do encourage you to do so. You can head out to the official ElderScrollsOnline.com page, and you can see it there. That's kind of the end of our news. But we do have emails, so I'm going to try to pull these up after this boss. What are you guys thinking? You want to say anything while I'm fighting this boss? Yeah.
I guess the only thing, I didn't talk about my infinity health build.
Yeah, go ahead and do that real quick before we do the mailbag.
I'm not going to give away the sets or anything else what I'm doing yet, but I believe I can get a build to where I'm going to be 25,000 to 30,000 health recovery is the idea.
Wow.
And with that, you'd be rocking about 40,000 health, and you won't die.
Now, health recovery for... So how much health are you recovering every couple seconds at that point?
So health all your recovs happen 2 seconds. So like, say if you're like at max would be say, it'd basically be like a 15,000 heal per second.
But that's out of combat recovery or in combat recovery?
No, that's in combat. I've actually already tested it. I can sit there and do nothing with my hands off the controller with 30 monsters attacking me and I won't die. Not pushing a button.
Wow. I'm that's interesting. I'm really, really interested in that. That's really cool.
I will be posting a video about it later. I need to get this helm, and I thought I had it heavy divines already. I have a heavy divine CP40.
Oh, gotcha.
I remember running this dungeon. I was trying to get this for a long time, and the guy's like, hey, can we do this really quick? And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. I already did it like 13 times a day. I'll help you out. And I get that. And this was before you were guaranteed helms.
Oh,
no. I was so mad. I still have it. I locked it. Worst case scenario, I'll just do with that. And I don't have a heavy divine shoulder either. So I'd be like, all right, these are how you can optimize it even more. And I'm assuming blah will happen. But
right.
15,000 per second passive heal should be impossible.
And that it's not. It is not. I actually told you about the build already, Ark and D.
Yeah, I know, but you didn't tell me the part that it would be 15,000 heal per
because
second.
I've been working with Galsker a little bit, trying to think of how we can do it in PvP too. Right now it's only PvE viable because you hit like a wet noodle. Like you might as well just be hitting with a wet noodle. But if we can make it PvP viable, health recovery is not stopped in PvP. It's not halved.
I mean, if with that much health recovery, you would be pretty much unkillable in PvP as well. And I am pretty sure people would report you for hacking.
Well, I'm not hacking though.
Yeah. I mean, I want.
I got reported for hacking using Meridia because they're like, you're DDoSing me. No, I'm not DDoSing you. You just don't know what the set is being. You would read your text,
you would see. All right. So actually, Ark, are you doing something that's like, you know?
No, I'm just jumping
in the notes. I have it at the very bottom of the notes. Would you mind reading that email for me, please?
Give me a second.
He's like, I have to kill this AD really quick.
He's like, oops, I didn't know I was gonna make you read, but I am because I'm running this.
In the notes is that
it's at the very bottom. It's not under emails. I just threw it in the very bottom, so you can see.
Like throwing you under the bus.
Throwing you under the bus. Yeah.
Second.
So yeah.
Doo-doo-doo. Oh, okay, there it is.
Yep.
So it's from Paul. Okay, it's a different format. Okay, yeah. Subject, cross-server play. Regarding the question in episode 136 about cross-server play for ESO Plus members, one possible way to implement this would be to allow ESO Plus members to transfer their characters from one server to another. I think something like this is already in place to a limited extent in that live characters can be copied to the PTS on PC. Stat progress inventory information should be a fairly small dataset. So if you normally play on PC but want to play with a friend on PS4, you can transfer your PC character to the PS4 server So when you log in on PS4, you don't have to start a new character. Then when you are done on PS4, you can transfer your progress back to PC servers, similar with US European servers on same platform. Possibly even better if you can link your PC and PS4 accounts and then progress is automatically mirrored. Could be issued with inventory items if economies are very different between servers, although could also be interesting to see if arbitrage opportunities even things out and or are part of benefit to ESO Plus. Not necessarily a perfect idea, but at least one way to implement the original suggestion without having to create much beyond what is already in place.
That's kind of an interesting idea. Like, I have ESO on PC, but I don't want to play on my PC. I've never played ESO with you guys, even though I own two games of it. But just because I maxed out on my character, I only like playing my one guy, but if I was able to transfer back and forth, that'd be amazing.
Right. My issue, and it's not an issue, it's more of a technical limitation.
Yeah.
Data is stored, generally how most data is stored is character data, all that's stored in a SQL database. And generally, while it's written actively, you can't use an active database. What they would have to do is they'd have to take a backup of your character's data, which generally happens depending on how much that they're backing up on probably a 10 or 15 minute interval. So that's why when you have rollbacks and stuff like that, you're like, you know, like if something were happening, you're like, oh no, I was working on a quest, but now I can't because I'm back where I started. It's because that was the last time the database saved your progress. I know games like for server transfers and stuff like that, that's essentially what they do. And they do the same thing on the console, is they take a period in time, they take a certain backup of your character and go, all right, this is being transferred to whatever console, right? Like, here's where it's going. Or, you know, PTS rather, not console. For PS, it would all depend on, like, I don't know, if there was limitations on how quickly you could transfer back and forth, whether or not there was a time delay, and how much they could automate the process. Because, yeah, it is possible, but I can't think of, and even when Blizzard does it with their character transfers from server to server, that's essentially what you're doing, is you're taking a copy of your character's backup data from whatever point in time that you're at. It'll take a backup of you manually, or, you know, it kicks off when you initiate the transfer, backs up your character, and then transfers that information to the new server. I don't know, of course, I don't know how Blizzard does this. Does it require some customer service guy to be sitting there going, okay, click and move? Or is it automated? I don't know. I mean, they have the money to have a CS team that maybe there's a group of people, that's all they do. Whenever a server transfer comes in, they sit there and transfer people. That's why they said it can take up to 24 hours, even though I've never had it take that long. I've only ever had it take maybe at most an hour. I don't know. Like, I think it'd be neat, but there's a lot of technical limitations that I don't know if they could do. Because I'm sure they're not going to want some poor CS person sitting there trying to back up your information every time you want it. You know, anytime an ESO Plus player goes, hey, I'm transferring over to, you know, like Sean. All right, I want to transfer my character over for Imperial City Night, so I'll be there. So I'm going to transfer before 8 o'clock on Thursday, and then I want to transfer back, you know, for the rest of the week. Are you going to have some poor CS guy there trying to do all that? I don't think so. So they would have to find a way of automating it in some form or fashion to make it viable. I could see it happening as a paid service going forward, you know, like, hey, you for 2,000 crowns, we'll copy your character like we did for the people who bought the game on console, like I did, because it was 20 bucks, and I was like, I'll support the game, so I'm like, absolutely. And then it was transferred over from that point in time. I could see that as a service. I still don't see how it would work, at least not with current technology, as far as I know it. Because I can tell you right now, I sure as heck at my job wouldn't want to take requests from customers to restore their data back, you know, from, you know, 15 minutes ago, move it to another server, because that would be a manual process on my side. I'd have to go into the database, make a backup of it, transfer it to a new server, and go from there, you know?
Can you imagine people trying to go to all, like, the PS4, Xbox, EU, PS4, Xbox, including PC, whatever, just go to all the traders?
Yeah, exactly. Doing that, especially if it was free, if you were just paying a sub. I can tell you what, $15 a month isn't enough for me to want to do that in my job. You know, to take the different request or whatever, like you said, buying everything on PC where it's cheaper, and then going and you know, selling it on console where it's more expensive than transferring that money back. Over time, yeah, I agree, the money would probably shift off, because there would no longer be one market. You'd have multiple markets, you know? It'd be like, well, why in the world would I pay $25K for a temper here when I can just transfer my character to cons or to PC and buy it for $7 and come back, you know? That's my thought. No one else?
I had like 2 points. Oh, like, what would you do if one of the servers went down? Like, say, if Xbox went down, because as you say, we're notorious, and I kind of agree, to be honest, we go down a lot. What would happen if you're like, the Xbox service would go down? Would you be able to access your character? Probably
not. No, because it's completely tied to that service. You would have to
wait. That wouldn't be just like Xbox or PS4. That would be probably everything would probably just crash.
Yeah. I could see that. Like, it would, there is a sense of everything being separate. I don't know how much control ZOS has over the Xbox servers, because they can't even release patches until they're vetted, right? So, I mean,
yep.
Could you imagine that level of control over copying servers over? Like, even when they did it for when the consoles first came out, they might have did a deal with that as part of, hey, we're moving all this stuff over. But I don't know if Microsoft would allow them to, you know, and this goes the same for Sony, to go, hey, we need to copy a character over. I don't know if they have that level of control without a huge wait time.
I agree. Love that, though.
I would love it if we could all just play together and just do cross-platform, yeah, like Final Fantasy 14 does.
Ultimate cross-platform.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. And I mean, let's face it, I know people are like, oh, it might be unfair. You can play, like, PC can play with controller or keyboard and mouse.
I'd do Nerdman right now on my character, just so you know. I'd challenge him, and I'd probably win.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, but we can't.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all skill based too. I mean, if you're really good with a controller, by all means, it could be better than a mouse and keyboard. I can't remember.
Was it on ESO Live or no? It was actually in the interview with Nate, where they had that one person on controller just wrecking people with mouse and keyboard.
Yeah,
like, and I was telling Ark earlier today when you weren't here, that for us to, like, say roll dodge. Like, you hold block, you push jump, which is A, and then you pull in whatever direction you want. And it's very smooth to do it. And I don't know. It feels very intuitive.
Right.
I mean, at the end, it's about getting used to.
That's true.
I've seen people play first-person shooters with a controller, and I can't even run straight with a controller in any game. So it's about getting used to.
First-person shooters, I've played both PC and controller, and shooters definitely, I would say, is more control on PC for sure. And same thing with, like,
I wouldn't say PC, I'd say keyboard and mouse, because you can use a keyboard and mouse on those new.
True.
You just have to set it up.
It's like frowned upon too.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you can.
you can.
And the way the game's built with, you can literally just go into, you can literally just go into your settings, go, I want to use the keyboard and mouse control setup or the console control setup. You could do either, which is really cool. So, I mean, take it as you will, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's kind of that. Ark, I put the next one in there too.
Oh, there's another one.
We have three today, which is awesome. Thank you so much for everyone who messaged us. I really do love these mailbags, so keep it up. You can either email us directly, contact@dungeoncrawlernetwork.com, or you can go to our website, dungeoncrawlernetwork.com, and there's a contact us option, and you can send a message directly from there if you so desire. So if you have any questions, anything like that, absolutely, please send them. They're awesome. I'm so glad we got a couple, because it's been a long time since we had a mailbag.
This one is from Cisco. Subject, suggestion. Hey guys, love your podcast, but I have one suggestion. Can you please put timestamps on the description of your podcast? Because your podcast goes pretty long, and for myself, and I'm sure others, I want to only hear certain parts of your show. Speaking for myself, I only want to hear you guys talk about the rumored news and your analysis of updates to the game, but trying to find those parts in 2+ hours of conversation is not easy and frustrating. Thanks so much.
Yeah, actually we did that once upon a time.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, like it worked because a few people liked it, but you know, the majority of our audience didn't care. They listened to the whole thing. What I probably will do in the future, not saying it's going to be right away, I got to work on it a little bit, is I'll probably add skip points on the YouTube videos only. The podcast feed, I'm not going to put timestamps on that because most people who listen to a podcast anyway don't really care. They're listening to the whole thing.
I don't even know if that was even a thing, if you could do that. Like, I've listened to many podcasts and I've never even seen that option.
I can put it in the description where you can see a timer, and I'm just, it's going to mess with my format. And I like my website pretty. I don't want to see this whole number thing on the bottom. So for the podcast listeners, you don't get anything cool like that. But for the YouTube, I'll probably add jump points in the future, so you'll be able to jump back and forth between our subsections. Thank you for the suggestion, and thank you for listening. I'm glad that you enjoy us for news and speculation.
I guess another thing, it's a little tangent, but I actually was a podcast listener, and this is my fifth or sixth episode I've been on the show.
Yeah, so a couple.
Just a little. Just a little note.
Yeah. And I'm throwing the last one in here right now, Ark. There you go. As I'm dying.
Okay. This is from Andrew Jones. Subject, co-op. Cooperate. Yeah.
Yeah, co-op. For co-op. Yeah.
Yeah. Hi. Love the podcast. Just got into playing Elder Scrolls with a few friends and would like to know if you can co-op the quests with my group. Had a little difficulty trying to sort it all out. Any help or advice would be great. Thanks, Andrew.
I understand the issue that you're experiencing. And a lot of that issue is the early portion of the game. It got a lot better. But I will tell you, when the game first came out, it was very hard. If you were not essentially starting the quests together and doing them at the same time, you would often phase yourself out. Now, there is a few instances of that if you're not on the same quest, you can't see one another. Thankfully, it's a lot less. Honestly, the only thing I can really tell you with that, because it's not something you can really control, because it's Zoss who's the one who are controlling it, with phasing, it gets a lot better in the DLC stuff. So Kraglorn, Hrothgar, Gold Coast, Dark Brotherhood, that kind of stuff, it's a lot better. My only real suggestion is, bring your friends to do your quest, but in some of the vanilla zones, it is very hard because of phasing going forward. I honestly, just do your best. That's honestly the only thing you can really do.
Well, I wouldn't recommend it, especially if you're trying to experience the story for the first time, but you can always press share quest.
Yeah.
That helps. But if you want to experience the story, just do it by yourself, or the vanilla zone questions, in my opinion.
Or you make new characters that you all only play together. That's an option, too, if that is something that you really want to do. And I don't want to say you can't play, but you're going to have those situations that unless you're all playing at the exact same time and you wait for one another, you are going to hit a few quests, especially quests that change the outcome of the world, like, a town being saved or destroyed or something along those lines. I just got a Bloodspawn mask in Divines, which is pretty awesome. Not gonna lie there.
Yeah,
if you're not playing together and waiting for everyone to do the quest, like I did with Thais, my wife, we played together for a long time, and up until, you know, she wasn't able to do it anymore, we still play together. We'll still do stuff, but I actually have another character with one Tamriel that I run with her character where we left off. I literally don't touch this character unless we're playing together. So it sits exactly where we leave off, and I run around on my main and do stuff the rest of the time. But it does get a lot better in the later pack. You like in the DLC zones, it gets a lot better. You can literally pick up and go, where are you at? Hey, let's go do this quest here. Have you done it? Oh, you have. Let's move to another one. And there's no real issue with phasing that there is in the early game. So, I mean, that's kind of all I got. Does anyone else have any other tips for him?
Not me.
No?
Okay. If you're on the same, go PvP together. You can definitely do that. Go and do all the well, in Cyrodiil you have those quests like from the towns.
Yes,
those are easy to do together. You won't phase out if you're in the same faction and same campaign.
Yeah, I couldn't think. Craglorn's another one of those. If you just like doing quests together, there's dailies that show up every day that you can do together. So, and they're fairly difficult. So, I mean, they're something fun to do. But yeah, that's the end of our mailbag, guys. Thank you so much for everyone who emailed, and thank you so much, Ark and Sean O'Neill, for you guys showing up for the show today. Did you guys have fun? I did.
Oh, I did. Yeah.
Somehow or another, we're still at 2 hours.
You're welcome. You told me to continue to talk, and I was like, all right, I got you.
I got you. I know. Sean carried this. It was pretty amazing. But yeah. Thank you so much for my co-host showing up. Thank you so much, chat room. You guys have been great. Check us out, dungeoncrawlernetwork.com, facebook.com/dungeoncrawlernetwork, and of course our YouTube, youtube.com/dungeoncrawlernetwork. Thank you so much to our awesome Patreon supporters. I wanted to shout out to them as well, because we are doing a giveaway at the 1st of May for a collector's edition of Morrowind. So that's open to our Patreon subs. Thank you so much. You guys are amazing. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tales of Tamriel, and we will see you next week. Have a great day, everybody. Bye bye.
The serpent lights the ancient sky of bread of tainted stars. Evil stirs and in its wake the souls of mortals sway. And sorrow reigns over fields of red and spirit. That devours our tower of gold. Dawn.